I'm going to go over some current data as to where we've been over the last couple of years. And then I want to spend a fair amount of time looking at a program that we have developed internally to project condition of our roads, condition of our bridges, based on various assumptions that we have available to us. And so you will see that, and I believe you'll be impressed. And if you have the same reaction that the Highway and Transportation Commission had, you're going to be depressed as well. But let me start with our slides here. The first screen, okay, you have it behind you. This is the condition of our major highways in the state of Missouri. And major highways are those highways that basically carry 80% of all of our traffic. It's 5,500 miles out of our 32,400-mile system. That 32,400 miles places us as having the seventh largest highway system in the country. When you look at our overall funding, it also places us at 44th in revenue per mile for our system. So as you can see, seventh largest, 44th in revenue, pretty much paints the picture of what we're dealing with. But what you can see here is that major highways, again, this carries the overwhelming bulk of the total traffic within our state. And you can see that in 2003, 44.5% of our major roads were in good condition. In 2004, the voters approved Amendment 3, and we will make copies of this available to you, so you don't have to take notes if you don't want to on this portion. And as you can see, in 2004, the voters approved Amendment 3, and we approached, we attacked our roadway condition strategically, and over the last few years, our most recent numbers available to us that have just come in within the last week show that 83.4% of our major highways are in good condition. That's a good thing. Our target is actually 85% in good condition, and we would like to then have the remaining 15% in fair condition and none of them in poor. That's our management target. And the reason you want these, the fair number is that as roads become fair, you want to then apply treatments that bring them up to good and have the good, you know, rotate through, and so that you are getting the useful life out of the treatments you apply. So we are approaching an ideal spot for the condition of our major roads. This is a very good thing. And you can see we benchmark against the best in the country. The best road system in the country for condition is Georgia. We also have good news on the fatalities front. We're into the green, and we're printing copies now on both sides of paper, and I'm still not used to looking at the back side. So, as you can see, in 2005, 1,257 fatalities, and we have seen significant reductions in each of those years to this last year of 2008. We're currently at 938. That number is not fixed yet because people who have had crashes in 08 and basically they're given 30 days in case they die from as a result of that crash, they would still count towards 08 fatalities. There are some areas that have not yet reported all of their fatalities, and so this number will tend to grow by a couple over now and the end of this month. But if you'll notice, the one thing that is occurring in fatalities is that the major contribution that we had to a reduction in fatalities was the application of our safety improvements provided through Amendment 3 that allowed us to go in putting guard cables, rumble stripes, larger stripes, wider stripes. All of those safety improvements have saved lives in our state, but we applied those to the highest volume roads at the start, and we've been working our way down to lower volume roads. It just makes sense. As you apply the same treatment that saves lives, it's still saving lives, but as we apply them to lower volume roads, the return is less. And so you can see that our major impact that we've had on the reduction of fatalities using our current model is, frankly, petering out as far as the benefits that we're going to see from that. We will continue to save lives, but the savings that we're seeing are diminishing. So we're going to need a new approach to fatalities if we're going to see this continued improvement. And I have to tell you that that improvement is going to have to be a primary belt law. And that's going to be the way that we're going to be able to then see this line continue in a substantial way. The next slide is, how well are we doing in managing our resources at MoDOT? Well, the Reason Foundation this last year released its annual report, and here's a quote directly out of its report, which said that MoDOT is among the most efficient in managing a state highway system, ranking fourth in administrative costs per mile. The bottom line is we're going to continue to save as much money as we can. We will continue to manage in the most efficient way we can, but we've also reached a point there of diminishing returns. Our savings are not going to be substantial, and we're not going to be able to save our way out of our future. Percent of overall customer satisfaction. This is done from an annual survey that MoDOT conducts. Well, it became annual in 2005. Prior to that, the most recent one prior to that was 2003. 3,600 Missourians are surveyed each year, so the sample size is substantial, quite accurate. And we have seen Missouri's satisfaction with MoDOT grow from 68% to 78% over the last 5 years. But what I believe is significant about this number is more than anything is if you look at the people who are very satisfied with MoDOT, where we grew from 5% in 2003 to now 21% in 2008. So basically, one in five Missourians is very satisfied with MoDOT. And that, I believe, is an indicator, really, of the quality of service that we are providing and the improvements that we've made over the last 5 years. Another area, when we talk about how well do we manage the organization, another measurement of that is how well do we manage projects. And we are very proud of the fact that from 2004 to 2008, we've completed, meaning closed out, 2,189 projects totaling $5.6 billion. Frankly, it's $5.58 billion in projects closed out costs. Which was our program estimate for all of those projects. And then our closeout cost was 5.55. So we have delivered over the last 5 years $5.5 billion of projects and brought them in technically under budget. Our performance is 0.7% under our programmed amount. I will put that record up against any DOT in the United States that has managed the program from programmed amount through completed costs. And that is the highest standard of comparison that you can offer, because that says, what did we put a project into our STIP, our Statewide Transportation Improvement Plan, at? What did we put the money in at? And what did we close the project out at? And this is a record that I am extremely proud of our organization. Percentage of minor highways in good condition. And now this is an area that I don't have a lot to crow about. You can see that over the last 6-7 years, the overall condition has trended down for the condition of our minor roads. These minor roads are the 27,000 miles out there that carry the remaining 20% of the volume of traffic we have in the state. If you can try to picture a pyramid and look at our quintile of traffic volumes in our state, at the top, the first quintile, meaning those roads that carry 20% of the traffic in Missouri, that top point of the pyramid is 265 miles. So 265 miles of highways carry 20% of the volume of traffic. That pyramid goes down to our minor roads that you see here, which carry 20% of the volume of traffic and represent 7,000 miles. That's the challenge we have in trying to manage our system, is that we have 265 miles that carry the same amount of traffic as 27,000 miles. And so that, I can tell you, is quite a challenge. So what are we looking at then? I mean, overall, I'm very proud of our performance. I can tell you the media has been very generous to MoDOT. Our most recent quarterly tracking shows that 92% of all editorials are favorable to MoDOT and actions that we're supporting. I believe we have connected with Missourians. We've connected, and as an indicator with that, the media's reporting has been we believe very positive towards what we are doing. But that's the recent past, and one of our jobs is to be looking forward. And what are we having to deal with as a state for a transportation system? Obviously, our transportation system is the foundation of how we live. It's the foundation of our economy. MoDOT, we believe, we impact every Missourian every day. And whether you leave your house or not, you have goods on your shelf that had to come over our transportation system. When you go to see your doctor or when the kids go to school, they're using our highway systems. And we know that how well we perform is important to the health of our state, the health of our economy. And so as a result, if you'll, Jay, go ahead and start. Oh, I'm sorry, I still have one more. This is my last screen. And this is looking at construction awards, that one. We were looking at it, the benefit of Amendment 3 provided this very nice bulge in construction awards. These are the contracts that we awarded each year for transportation projects in the state of Missouri. And you can see that we, you know, reached nearly $1.2 billion in 2008. In 2009, we're projected to go down, and by 2010, you can see that we're going to drop under $600 million for a construction program. That would be taking us back to a point actually lower than pre-Amendment 3 times. And no one was claiming that they liked the condition of our transportation system pre-Amendment 3. Now, you might have seen recently that Overdrive magazine, which is the magazine of professional long-haul drivers, in 2004 rated Missouri's highways second worst in the nation. This last year, that same survey of their professional drivers rated us fifth best. I believe we've taken Amendment 3 dollars, we've used them well, the system is improved. But you can see what's happening is that we are going to be returning to a time pre-Amendment 3. And of course, the system doesn't just fall apart in 2010. But what we can tell you is that at that level, our system will not be improving. Our system will be deteriorating, and it will slowly deteriorate at first, and then it will rapidly deteriorate. Now, I'd been talking about us driving off of a cliff for several years now in my annual addresses to the legislature. And this is the cliff that we're looking at. Now, as you see, there is a yellow space now that has been filled in, and that is the projected use of stimulus dollars on our highway system, and this little yellow area will make up about $500 million. That's our guess, is that we will have actually just maybe short of $600 million available to us for the highway, you know, for highways and bridges within our state. And so it's coming at a very good time for us. We were driving over the cliff. We now see we've got a cushion, and we've got this glide that's going to take us down. But we still end up down, and it's short-lived. And the question is, well, what does it mean when we don't have an adequate transportation funding mechanism in place? What happens to our roads? That was a question that the commission had asked me, and I guess a little over 2 years ago. The department developed a program to try to predict the condition major roads, major bridges, minor roads, minor bridges. And so it takes into account here what you're looking at on the right-hand side is when we put in place the amount of dollars available to us for a construction program, It then takes out our sub-allocated funding. Those are dollars that come to us from the federal government and by law are immediately distributed to our transportation management areas, TMAs, and those are areas over 200,000. So we have three of those in the state of Missouri, Kansas City, Springfield, and St. Louis. And so, as you can see in this formula, they get $145 million distributed directly to them that never touches our hands. The next piece is there's $23 million that goes to other modes, and that's, again, through the formulas dictated by federal law. That's money that will go to transit, transit agencies primarily under this scenario. Debt service, $216 million. Now, I would like to take just a minute to explain that. When Amendment 3 passed, Amendment 3 did not just give us additional money. It created a new fund within state government, and it was not the road fund, but it was the state road bond fund. That was created by Amendment 3. And it said one half of the vehicle sales tax that's collected annually will go into the state road bond fund. And if MoDOT wants access to that money, we have to issue bonds to create a payment stream that we can now use, or a debt stream that we can now use the proceeds of the state road bond fund to make those payments. And so the idea that MoDOT and the commission ran out and issued all this debt, now we're having to pay it back. Well, that was the structure of Amendment 3. Amendment 3 required that, and our payment structure that we have put in place is exactly the projected amount of the Amendment 3 resources plus the existing $75 million of bond payments that were already in place from the 2000-year bonds. So this debt stream is tailored to use Amendment 3 just as it was intended to be. We've used the dollars, they've been put to good use. Now it's time to pay those bonds, but the money to pay those bonds is coming from the State Road Bond Fund. So this is not money that would have been used for operations in any other way. And then we have an economic development and cost-sharing pot of money. Which is it's $30 million annually. That's money that we cost share with local governments to try to take care of economic development projects they may have. And we believe part of our responsibility is supporting a prosperous Missouri. And so we have a portion of our funds that go to this. These dollars are already committed through 2013. That's the kind of demand that is out there for it. The next piece is taking care of the system. And those are the dollars that are committed to maintenance, and it's a carve out. In previous times, this taking care of the system money got down to as low as about $150 million, and it was at the expense or maintenance was being shunted, and it was new construction was the priority, and our system showed that maintenance was not being taken care of. The commission adopted a policy that says we will dedicate at least $460 million every year to maintenance. And then the remaining is the flexible funds and ultimately then what is left for major projects and emerging needs. And so this is we have been able to, through a very simple formula here, show, well, here's the money we have for what purposes. And then the graphs over on the left predict the condition of, you'll see on the far left, pavement, and that's percentage of good for major roads, percentage good for bridges, and then down in the lower left-hand corner, condition of good, percentage good of minor roads, and bridge good on minor roads. And so this predicts, and built into this is our practical design approach. I give you my word that this is based on our most conservative estimates of what is the least we can get away with from a cost perspective. It's not padded in any way, and we've made assumptions for this prediction model. If we had a choice between predicting that something was going to cost us $10,000 a mile or $11,000 a mile, we chose 10. I mean, we've done everything we can to be as conservative as we can in costs to try to get as much out of it as we can get. And so now what you see is based on our existing total available funds that come into MoDOT. And you'll see at the top $1.17 billion. And again, between you and me, that's a lot of money. You know what? $1 million is a lot to me, as I'm sure it is to you. But when we're talking about maintaining a transportation system, these dollars all of a sudden take on a different scale. And so while numbers will seem big to you and me individually, you can see what it produces on our system. So when you see that $460 million will mean after, on that upper right-hand piece, you can see we have a plan to get our major roads to 85% good. We have a plan to get there through the STIP, which STIP is the acronym for our Statewide Transportation Improvement Plan. You'll hear the word STIP a lot from us in transportation. The STIP gets us to that point right up there where you can see we hit 85%. But then as we go forward with existing dollars, the system declines and will end up, if you can read the numbers, in the 60 percentile. Is that with our existing revenue stream, our major roads are going to be in the 60 percentile range of good. So it will be a substantial decline. But the real scary part is when you look at what's predicted to happen to our minor roads. And our minor roads are going to continue to fall down into the high 30s and low 40 percentile. I mean, that's... If you know, you're hearing people complain about minor roads right now, and wait until this happens. It's going to be much worse than it is. And what you can see is our bridges, our major bridges, we see that we can get those into the 90s and keep them there. The same way on our bridges for the minor roads, our target is 75% good. So what this allows us to do is we can start saying, well, what happens if we don't want to put all that money into bridges? Let's move the bar a little bit to the left, and we'll take money out of bridges. Is that smart? You make these kinds of decisions all the time. But we can see the bridges, we can see the bridge conditions decline, and we can see that we might be able to hold our major roads in the low 70s. But it's at the expense of bridges. I mean, this is zero sum. Whatever we do somewhere, we take it away from somewhere else. And so the question becomes, well, there's a scary part to this model. And this model assumes zero inflation. Now, the reason it assumes, and everybody goes, well, that's ridiculous. But the reason is that you assume that our revenues should at least stay constant to inflationary costs. And you know what? It'd be great if that occurred, but it doesn't. Our revenues typically fall 1.5 to 2% behind inflation every year. So now if we take this graph and we change this and we say, let's say we've got 2% inflation, which is the difference between our revenues and costs. And those are the numbers. And so now all of a sudden you can see those kinds of assumptions just drive down the condition of our roads. And these are saying that now at this point that we think our overlays are going to remain at a cost where oil is going to be in the $60 to $70 a barrel range. Predictions are saying that, you know, oil's probably going to go back up to $120 a barrel in 2010 or 11. So there are a lot of assumptions that are not built into this yet. And even taking, again, an optimistic view of the condition of our system, we see that our system continues to deteriorate. It continues to deteriorate. Now, we can play what ifs. Thank you. We can play what ifs. What does it take What does it take to get us to a point that we can keep our major and minor roads in a good condition? And we've played with this, obviously, ourselves. And if we increase taking care of the system by some amount, what does that number need to be? And the bottom line is, Jay? So we put another $185 million into the system at the top and grab it all for taking care of the system. And what does that look like? We can see at that amount, again, with zero inflation. So if you take that model and do 2% inflation, this is really a very strong model, though. I have to tell you, it's depressing. But all right, with 2% inflation and $185 million going into just taking care of the system, we still see that our overall condition is going to decline. So the number is going to be north of that amount that we need for taking care of the system. And in the end, at this amount, you'll see that our major projects down at the bottom would be an annual construction program, major construction program of $172 million. And I can tell you, contractors will be quite upset with a continuing construction program of $172 million. There is no way we could undertake safety improvements to our program, like addressing I-70 or I-44, major projects in whether it's St. Joe or St. Louis, whether it's Page or 141 or whatever the project is. You're not going to undertake project improvements like that with that size of a construction program. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. I kind of recall either last year or previous presentations that you've made, state of our system, that after Amendment 3 money ran out, that we would be looking at $800 million and some change in what we had to work with. Now I'm hearing $600 million. What's the difference?
Well, my prediction during the last two or three state of transportation had said we would go from it predicted a $1.4 billion program to roughly an $820 billion program, which was going to be an intermediate year, and then the next year would be $567. So we really are pretty much online with the predictions made during the State of Transportation address. The $800 million number was halfway down the slope and would continue down to the $567.
So what, can you bring that slide back up that shows what we did in the last 4 or 5 years? What our expenditures have been? So 2008, we were still at 1.1 billion. 2009,
fiscal year. These are fiscal years,
right? All right.
So 2009, you can see that would put us at about 8. Let's see, where would we be? Somewhere about $900 million, I would say,
uh-huh,
is where we are for nine. So that's slightly more than...
So if we didn't get the stimulus, what would we be in 10? You're saying we'd be under $600 million?
We would. We'd be in the 560 to 570 range without the stimulus.
Okay. All right.
Now, the one item that is not yet incorporated into this is we don't yet know... Under our design build program for the Safe and Sound Bridge projects, which are currently in a procurement for 554 bridges, we're going to be borrowing that money through a Garvey bond. We do not have those Garvey bonds incorporated into this yet. So we could see a nice, there could be a nice little bump here as we borrow that money to pay for these, for the bridge program.
Does the Amendment 3 money sunset? I mean, you said that we're paying it back. We've borrowed money against the Amendment 3 funds, right? What's the scenario? How does that work?
Well, it does not sunset. The Amendment 3 monies will continue to go into the state road bond fund, and as bonding capacity might be created, there's the ability to try to to issue more bonds. But right now, the scenario is essentially it's going to be 20 years before
we pay back what we've spent thus far.
We've already spent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let me. Obviously, everybody is headed toward. Let me restate that. Many are headed toward some revenue piece in the future, and I'm going to give you my list, and I would like you to comment on each of these. One would be what I would call a use tax, some payment per mile used. I mean, the technology is close to getting there where you can do that. Other would be a sales tax to pay for roads and bridges and transportation. We've never done that before. Fuel tax is an option. Toll roads are an option. And then the third I would put toll roads, or not the third, but the fifth, toll roads with privatization. Mm-hmm. If you need reminded on the list, I can.
We will. If
you and if
mind.
I miss some, let me know.
Yeah. And there might be a couple there. The first of a VMT tax. The first thing I would like to say is that in reality, you can pay for transportation in any way you choose. People have asked me, well, could you do tolls? Could you do fuel tax? Could you do vehicle registration, fees, whatever? And the answer is yes. You can produce enough money in any way. The question is, number one, is that desirable? And then number two, can we get 51% or 50 plus one of Missourians to agree to this? Because obviously it's going to require a vote. So right off the top, I would say anything is possible. But now let me try to address specifically the idea of what's your first question was on essentially what's being called today as a VMT tax, vehicle miles traveled tax, and it's simply how many miles did you drive, and it's going to cost you, pick a number, 1.2 cents, 7/10 of a cent, whatever that number is. It's applied towards that mileage, and it can be anywhere from non-technical to simply you report how many miles you drove on your income tax form, and you pay that, at the end of the year, or when you register your vehicle or whatever else. It can be very simple. The problem in general with that sort of a process, though, is that when you have to pay for it all at one time, it can be kind of painful. But among transportation, I would say the transportation industry today, it's almost universally agreed that within the United States we're going to have to transition to a VMT type of a tax, just simply because of the projection of alternative fueled vehicles, electric vehicles, a number of vehicles that will use something other than gasoline, or will use gasoline at such a small ratio of its performance that it's not going to be carrying a fair share of the road costs. And so the holy grail of VMT taxes is one in which you essentially pay based on what you drive, where you drive, and when you drive. And that one is, I think, 20 to 30 years out. But I do believe there are more simple forms of a VMT tax that can be implemented. I would love to explore some of those here in Missouri and see if we can figure out how to incorporate that into what we're doing. The next item.
Sales tax.
A sales tax obviously is a very robust tax. It does have fluctuating returns, but overall... a sales tax is I think a pretty desirable revenue stream because it does grow faster than inflation or with inflation. And that's what one of our problems is that within transportation, The aggregate of our revenue streams is on average this 1.5 to 2% under inflation. So we are never even holding our own relative to inflation. We are always falling behind. And so the idea of sales taxes are ones that say, you know, that's appealing. I would even argue that a sales tax is probably a little more fairer when you're talking about people benefit from transportation whether they use it or not. We were talking about groceries, and even if you buy stuff online over the internet, it's got to be shipped and you benefit from a transportation system. So sales taxes can be done, are used. Some states are using them statewide for transportation, but that's a small number. The next item?
Fuel tax, which you sort of touched on.
Fuel tax, it still is a viable way to pay for transportation, but its days are numbered. A number of studies at the national level are saying that it's viable up until 2020 to 2025. Now, that sounds like an awful long time to me, 2025, 2020. But, you know, that's 11 years. 2020 is 11 years. That's hard for me sometimes to capture that's that quickly. So 2020 to 2025, the estimates are fuel taxes are still a viable revenue stream. And, of course, when fuel costs are down as much as they are now, some people speculate that's it's the opportune time to address this. And there are some industries out there, like the automobile industry, that is urging now increases in fuel taxes in order to make their investment in all of these fuel-efficient cars more desirable, since they've invested now in this fuel-efficient fleet and people don't want them. Next item.
Toll roads.
Toll roads can work, although we only have a couple of routes in the state that are viable toll roads. The obvious ones are I-70 would be the prime example of a viable toll road. I think I-44 as a standalone toll road would be maybe just less than marginal. The combination of the two would probably be the most viable way to try to toll 44. Beyond that, tolls are really suitable to the high volume available routes to us, and frankly, we don't have that many in the state that are suitable. So the big ones, 70 and 44, toll roads would on 70 in the long run might very well have to be part of a proposal. I don't know. Again, that's part of the conversation that is ongoing today.
Okay. And the last would be tolls with privatization. Look at mm-hmm. Indiana, and is that even a remote possibility?
I believe that I-70 would be a viable public-private partnership I would be very comfortable in going out for a proposal that would seek a public-private development of a toll road on 70, and maybe less successful on 44. Yes, if I could remember them. there was no solution that had 51%. There was none. The ones that had the most support were a sales tax. The one that had the least support was a gas tax. I mean, a gas tax was roughly 7%. I'm not going to try to argue that's, you know, it's swimming against the current to try to argue that a fuel tax really is a very efficient way of actually paying for our system. But when the public doesn't want to pay it, there's no point in wasting time on that. There was an interesting question on our polling in which was, the standard question is if you just ask people what's important. Transportation normally ends up around 6th or 7th. In the list of where it's important, we asked the question, what state expenditures provide the most benefit to you? And the number one was education. at roughly, and don't hold me to this exact number, I can get you the numbers, but it was basically 37% had listed education as being number one, and transportation was number two at 24%. So when you ask the question in a different way, you obviously can get a different answer. And in this case, it's the public understands they get benefit from transportation expenditures.
I've got one. I think you mentioned that Georgia is the gold standard of road quality. Is that the in what funding mechanisms does the state of Georgia use? If you know, and you might not know, but that's
okay. I'd have to make them up to tell you that. They have a low gas tax. I think they're one of the lowest gas tax states in the nation. But I will get the information for you and get it to the Senate. But I do know that gas taxes are a low one. And I'm guessing beyond that. I vaguely remember they have a sales tax, but I won't get there. Now, of course, the condition of their roads are very good, and they have a horrendous congestion problem with Atlanta.
I've been through it several times.
Yeah.
And I would assume that Georgia probably has fewer miles of paved roads as well than the state of Missouri does.
They do. They have a smaller system. That's one of the things, if you look around the country, and you can see that those systems that are in better condition tend to be smaller systems.
One of the things on the alternative forms of paying for this would be more local match. And so that might be another thing that we need to look at. And we've seen in the past that if local entities or groups were willing to join together, like 36, I think, they went together on that. So can you speak about that would be another alternative to look toward more of a local?
We already are attempting to encourage local matches. And we are using them in ways that if you, in essence, have a tie and a community says we'll match, well, that might be the tiebreaker. But we have to be careful of the match system because poorer areas of the state are almost guaranteed to remain poor if they can't get the infrastructure that supports economic development. And so we've got to be careful that we don't create a self-fulfilling prophecy through a matching system that says you only get infrastructure if you match, and if you're poor, you can't match, therefore you're going to stay poor. So we already are using that, and the last number I recall is we've received about $165 million of local match towards our program cumulatively to date. So that's a substantial amount. And we love matches. But part of the problem is if we had another, let's pick a 36, if another region of the state came to us today and said, we'll match 50-50, this project, you put in $50 million, we'll put in $50 million. And I have to tell you, we'd have to turn it down today because we don't have $50 million to match that kind of a proposal. And we could have, I mean, it would be a problem that I would like to have. But if the federal program ever does expand, and there are proponents out there, and I'm one of those voices that believes the federal program needs to step up and deal with the needs of our nation. But if the federal program were to increase by a sizable amount without some credits that we already have that are called advanced construction credits, without those credits, we couldn't match federal dollars.
You're the president of what national organization?
I am now the immediate past president. Okay. I went out in October as the president of the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, and that's the organization of the 52 DOTs in the country.
I think most of us were not aware of that. I just want, other than that, I just want to make a comment. I think everybody in this room can remember the old days, and they weren't the good old days. They were the bad old days. But I will just tell you, and you and I had a little conversation out in the hallway, but I'll just tell you, I don't agree with you all the time. You don't agree with me all the time, but I'm going to just say this. I dare say there are very few people in this room that can say that you have done a tremendous job at turning the department around with the credibility, the viability, everything that you have done. And I know that it took more than you, but I'll just say I think all of us have realized the job that you've done, tremendous job you've done, and certainly hope that you remain here for a long time to keep that up, because we're going to need you. So,
Senator, I look forward to working on these problems with you and others.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Well, I noticed that when you mentioned how many positive editorials you'd had, that the front row there behind you smiled. They may go down for a while just to get past that. The other thing I want to point out, it's not totally hopeless, but that top 20% that carries the most traffic, the 265 miles, those cost about $50 million a mile to build. And you can almost do 2,000 miles of those minor roads for the same $50 million. So it's that pyramid is skewed, but you can make a big difference on minor roads with the same amount of dollars it takes to do a mile in downtown St. Louis or Kansas City. So it's not totally hopeless for us poor folks out in the country. Sooner or later we might. At least you'll get us across the bridges anyway. I appreciate that.
I certainly had. There wasn't meant to be an indication that the 20,000 or 27,000 miles weren't important to us. I've always found that the most important road in the state is the road that's out in front of your house. So, I mean, it's what affects an individual is what's important to that individual, and we have a lot of people that live off of our minor roads. And. And it's, I'm disappointed that we've not been able to come up with a really good strategy to address the minor roads. I can tell you, though, that our intentions are in using the stimulus money, we are earmarking ourselves internally 10% of the stimulus money to put onto lettered routes. And so that could mean $50, $60 million to go onto lettered routes to try to address the most critical ones of those. We still are probably going to have a problem. I have had people up in Senator Logger's area that took me out to their road to show me how bad it was, and when I checked, we had 18 cars a day on that road. And so it was in that particular road, that was almost like a driveway, So, I mean, it's, but it's,
every
there's a...
Yeah.
Further questions? What do you have, like 5 minutes? Can you, because I find Indiana interesting what they've done. Can you touch on that and for folks that aren't familiar with what Indiana's done?
Sure. I'm kind of surprised no one's asked about the stimulus package, but.
Whichever you'd rather talk about.
I don't know. If you're interested in Indiana, I'll tell you about Indiana. You know, the Indiana Tollway is really a roadway that's deals with Chicago traffic, and it's really not a major route used by Indianans. And so it had been built as a toll road. It had been operated by the state, and that's one of the problems of governments operating toll roads is the political pressure to not adjust toll rates, and that's really one of the dangers. And so the Indiana Toll Road is a perfect example of which the toll on that road was 10 cents per stop, and they had already calculated that it cost them 15 cents to collect that 10 cent toll. So they'd have been better off just they'd have saved money by removing the toll booths. And so you can see that. I mean, that was an excellent project to turn over to the private sector and have managed that way. And what Indiana did is, I believe the number, if I can recall, was about $3.8 billion as an upfront payment from the consortium that has taken over that roadway. They will operate the Indiana Tollway. They will collect the tolls, reinvest. They have conditions they have to meet in order to remain the operator of that system. If they violate the conditions of the contract, they can be removed without compensation. They would, in essence, lose their $3.8 billion payment. Quite an incentive for them to operate it according to their contract. Indiana then took that $3.8 billion and has reinvested that in other transportation needs around their state. It's a very interesting proposal. It probably did not have enough public discussion prior to the action, and I think there was some political fallout as a result of that. But it has provided a real surge in investment in transportation systems in Indiana.
Has there ever been a successful conversion of a free road to a toll road? In other words, this one was built as a toll road in the beginning.
That's right.
Has there ever been a successful conversion of a free road to a toll road?
Well, and I don't even you might even be able to ask that, Senator, has there ever been a conversion of a free road to a toll road? And to date, no state has converted. There's been the opportunity over a number of years to convert existing interstates into toll roads. And to date, no state has converted a free road into a toll road. And there are a number of states looking at it. None of them have done it. And it is, you know, the public, I believe the public today, even Missouri, I believe, has shown that they would support tolls on new construction. But the test of wanting to toll an existing free road is a real challenge.
Right.
And I think part of the problem is when we call freeways, you know, they were never – the free part never meant free of cost. They always meant free of obstruction. And so – But people have in mind that's a free road to drive on.